According to Mark.
Glory to you.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything to follow you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. This past Friday on October 11th marked my 16th anniversary to the priesthood. Yay. Wait till you hear the rest of the story. You won't want to clap. Every time I get close to this date, it makes me very reflective on how far God has brought me on my spiritual journey. Mind you, I'm not complete on this journey, but I have come a long way. This week in our Bible study on Hebrews, the group talked about the things that keep us from moving forward in our faith as God has called us. Barriers that keep us from moving forward. Trusting God has our back. I shared with a group about my journey, from going to church all my life, sitting in the pews, many like you, and not really getting anything out of it. Prior to my spiritual awakening, I was a pew potato. Not a good thing. The words went in and out, but I never really did much with my faith. That was until I had a spiritual crisis of my own, which triggered what I talked about last week, my divorce of over almost 30 years ago. My spiritual crisis led me to the Episcopal Church, and it was there that God removed the blinders from my eyes and softened my heart to truly hear God's word. And that is not the whole story. God put me on a fast track to read and study everything I could about my faith, so much so that I ended up at Southern Methodist University in Dallas. I began seeking a master's degree in Christian education so I could work as a Christian education director for some large Episcopal church. That was my plan. But then in my second semester, I had to take a class called Word and Worship. And our class was asked to celebrate communion at the altar in our faith tradition. And I thought to myself, well, when was I ever going to get a chance to act like a priest behind the altar? So why not? Well, when my turn came, I had a visceral reaction to what I was doing. No, God did not strike me down for play acting to be a priest. Instead, I heard a loud voice in my head say, "This is where you should be." And my heart started racing, and I knew I had an encounter of God. The question was, what was I going to do with that encounter? After that semester, I went on a retreat by myself to figure out what that call that I heard at that altar was. As I reflected on my own situation, suddenly I had a new understanding of how Moses must have felt when God called him from the burning bush, telling Moses to go back to Egypt and free God's people. Moses argued with God, telling God all the reasons that he was not the right person for this. I too spent my retreat telling God he made a mistake. God could not be calling me to the priesthood. I had a list for God of why I was not called to the priesthood. I had a hard time reading in front of people. How could I preach? I'm horrible, horrible with foreign languages. And I knew I had to either take 2 semesters of Hebrew or 2 semesters of Greek in order to be a priest. And the ultimate one was I had 4 days of timed essay general ordination exams after I was done with my master's in divinity. And with my test anxiety, it sent it into overdrive. There were too many barriers for me to become a priest. In Moses' case, God promised to be with Moses and to give him the power and the presence to succeed on his mission. God told Moses, "Go now, and I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say," it says in Exodus 4. And like Moses, God assured me that I would not walk this journey alone, and the barriers would be removed. And just like Moses, I move forward with God's call on my life. Barriers to following God are very real in our lives. And sometimes we are aware of these barriers, and sometimes we think we are doing what God wants us to do until God pushes back on us and tests us. This is the place where we find the man who's talking to Jesus in our gospel from Mark. This story appears in 3 out of 4 of our Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and this passage from Mark. From Matthew's Gospel, we find out that this man was young. From Luke's Gospel, he was a ruler. And from all 3 Gospel passages, we know that he had many possessions, which is why we kind of referred to this passage as the rich young ruler. This young ruler runs up in front of Jesus and kneels in his pathway, no doubt to get Jesus' attention. Now that the man has Jesus' attention, he begins to ask Jesus a very important question. The man in our gospel reading asks Jesus a question of eternal significance. "Good teacher," he says, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And it's probably a question we would like all to ask Jesus. And it's an extremely interesting and important how Jesus answers this man. Jesus begins to list God's Ten Commandments, something that the man was very happy to hear, for he says to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept these since my youth." Looking at the man, Jesus loved him. No doubt Jesus saw much good in this man, but he also saw that there was a major obstacle in his life, a barrier, one that could keep him from eternal life. So Jesus says to him, "You lack one thing." Jesus says to this man, "You," not to criticize or humiliate the man, but I believe because Jesus was truly loved him and wanted the very best for this man. And then Jesus lays out the bombshell. "Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Jesus saw something in this man that was keeping him separated from God, his riches, his stuff. Jesus saw that the heart of this young man and knew it was holding him back from a true relationship with God, something in his life that he put above God. When the man heard what Jesus said he lacked, Scripture says he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Though this rich young ruler thought he was keeping all of God's commandments, he was breaking the first commandment: "You shall have no gods before me." The man's money and possessions were just too hard to part with. There were too many important, they were too more important than following God. And until Jesus pushed back on him, on this young man, he didn't even realize he had this barrier to God. When the rich young ruler did not hear the answer that he had hoped he was going to hear from Jesus, he went away, sad. He left Jesus' presence. He turned away from Jesus' invitation to come and follow him. Does this mean that if we want to spend eternal life with God, we must sell everything we own and give it to the poor and go live like missionaries for the gospel? Well, some may be called to this, but I sure hope this is not what we are all called to do, because most of us are in a heap of trouble, right? So what is Jesus trying to communicate, not only to those present at the time of his hearing, but today? Jesus is using this exaggeration in order to make a point. Jesus is putting the man to a test to see whether he personally, specifically loved God and his neighbor more than his possessions. This is what the story is all about: testing the man in the story and testing us. Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, as a part of his Sermon on the Mount, says this about our treasure: "Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When Jesus looks into our hearts, does he see barriers that keep us separated from God? We all have barriers between us and God. Sometimes we don't even realize how strong those barriers are until they are put to the test. I was tested when I heard my call to the priesthood. I argued with God because I didn't have enough faith at that time that God would eliminate those barriers. But yet, I learned God equips those he calls. The rich young ruler walked away from Jesus sad, not hearing the rest of the answer to his question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" My hope is that maybe, he thought about what Jesus said and did something about it. As Jesus talks more to his disciples, they ask the question, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus gives this answer, "For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." This statement is pure grace. Our salvation is pure and a gracious gift from God. But these words are not just meant to give us a warm and fuzzy feeling. Jesus is telling us that we are saved by God's grace, period. We cannot save ourselves by what we do or don't do. Only God can. A person who has everything on earth can still lack what is most important, eternal life. But the good news today is that God can save the rich and the poor, the good, the bad. God can save everybody, for all things are possible with God. But we still have the responsibility to look at our own lives and see what barriers may be holding us back to be who God has called us to be. Paul puts it this way in his letter to the Ephesians, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. And it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The rich young ruler thought he had it all together. He had kept the commandments, he thought. He thought he had done all these good works. He was a shoo-in for eternal life. But he wasn't. What must we do to have eternal life? By faith, believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, putting God first in our lives and our neighbor second. God's grace takes care of the rest. That is the message that Jesus tried to give the rich young ruler. But he turned his back on Jesus and walked away sad. Let us learn our lesson from this passage and stick around and hear all the words of eternal life that Jesus gives us. For God, all things are possible. Obviously, standing here as your rector, I had some barriers that I had to give over to God. I can now read in front of people, well, for the most part, without having at least an anxiety attack up here. In my second semester, I had 2 semesters of Hebrew, and I made an A and a B, definitely by the grace of God. And then my 4 days of general ordination exams nearly did me in. My family had to stay away from me for those 4 days. Yeah. Yes. The testimony is here. But I did pass, and I got approved for ordination after that. God will eliminate the barriers that keep us from accepting God's call on our lives. All we need to do is trust in God and believe. For God, all things are possible. Amen.